The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Show this Friday. Tacoma Rainiers. We got the UPS Loggers. Yes, and the Tacoma Cobras. TGIF. Time to kick it off. A little sports talk for the community. It is the sideline. We are on the air. I am just one half of the sideline. This is Pete.
And I'm the better half. This is Tony. Little half and half humor there for you.
The first jab of the day officially gets scored to Tony. Speaking of jabs, Tony, we're going to do something a little bit different here. I want to get the phone numbers out. I want to give our website out, of course, which is on the SL.com. That is on the SL.com. And I'm going to do a brand new segment here, something that we haven't done before. I think we're going to make it a weekly tradition, so to speak. We're going to give the people an opportunity. Actually, courtesy of KLAY, we're going to give them an opportunity to win four tickets to next Thursday, which is Tasty Thursday's Tacoma Rainiers game versus Oklahoma City. This is going to be Stump Tony. Brand new segment.
Brand new. I like new segments, Pete.
Stump Tony.
I like new segments.
All you have to do to win these four tickets that I'm holding in my hand, four tickets right here to the Tacoma Rainiers versus the Oklahoma City Redhawks and a parking pass. All you have to do is be smarter than Tony, and here's how you do it.
Oh, man, that'll never happen.
You call us up at 584-1480. We're toll-free from King County. Real easy, 253-804-5765. And stump Tony with an NFL-related question within the last 10 years.
We need to rename this segment to the Impossible Tickets You Can Never Win segment.
Good Lord. Wow, someone's feeling
stump
themselves.
Stump me on NFL over the last 10 years?
So simply give us a call. Stump Tony on an NFL question. These tickets are yours to watch some winning baseball from the Northwest. Of course, the Rainiers defeated New Orleans last night. So at least we do have one winning baseball team in the region. Speaking of which, Tony, man, where do we start? Let's keep it current, man.
Now, wait a minute. I do want to ask you something about this Stump Tony question stuff.
Okay.
We're going to keep it to, like, actual stuff that people pay attention to.
It has to be verifiable.
Not like some stats from a punter 10 years ago that no one even knew was on a team, but like...
Nope. All they have to do is stump you with a trivia question that could be verified via Google, powered by Sprint on my phone right here. If they stump you...
Mad love for Sprint and Google.
They win, or Bing, or whoever we just had to use. But as long as they... KGB, you know what? They're good. They are good.
Okay.
As long as they stump you, that's going to be a win. Quick rundown of the show real quick. At 3:22, we do have the Meet the Rainiers segment featuring the left-handed relief pitcher Brian Sweeney. Then at 3:50, we will have the head coach of the University of Puget Sound football team, Jeff Thomas, on the air. At 4 o'clock, keeping it football, we're going to have the head coach of the Tacoma Cobras in studio for a half-hour segment. Tony, we're going to be at that game on Saturday, aren't we?
We are. We're not just going to be there, Pete. Why don't you inform them of which capacity we will be
doing the PA announcing and musical entertainment. Mm-hmm. Not singing, playing music, of course. The musical Well, you could probably sing.
Yeah. I'll be there, might do a song or two. Pete will do all the dancing.
There we go.
Some rah-rah cheerleading.
So have your dollar bills ready. We're going to have some fun Saturday night, 7 o'clock out at Curtis, with the Tacoma Cobras look to extend their unbeaten streak in this preseason against the Pierce County Bengals. So a little inter-county rivalry right there.
Yeah, we actually got to go to one of the exhibition games last Saturday night.
They had a good-looking defense.
Mm-hmm. Tacoma Cobras,
right,
versus the Northwest Terminators.
Out of Oregon, and mm-hmm. they had the shutout going until the failed punt attempt late in the game.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll cover that when we get there. I'm going to ask the coach what happened.
What happened was they did not get their punter from the MLS.
Oh, wow.
That's what happened. Or any of these universities out here that got good soccer program. I'm telling you, man, those soccer guys are good for something.
Well, we'll see what the coach has to say about that. But real quick, you know, let's keep it basketball. You know, we got the NBA playoffs happening right now. In your opinion, right now, I've been waiting all week to ask you this. At this moment, if you mm-hmm. had to choose right now, Tony, who is the better playoff team? Is it LA? Is it Boston?
You've been waiting all week to ask me this?
Yes, I
could have told you this on Monday had you asked me that. The better playoff team, hands down, is the Boston Celtics.
Why?
Why not? You're comparing them to the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, who are pretty good at what they do.
I would
but
say so.
You have to think of this. They're also a very good home team. Now, the Boston Celtics have done what they've done thus far in the playoffs, but they've done a lot of it on the road.
Oh, they've done all of it on the road against Orlando. The first two games of the series they take in Orlando mm-hmm. before they even go back to Boston. So the whole thing's been in Orlando. So
And they did it in the last series versus Cleveland, and they even dumped poor Dwayne Wade down there in Miami. So they've been some road warriors.
So now looking at that, you bring up an interesting point. They beat Dwayne Wade. They beat LeBron James. They
and
beat them on the road.
Humiliating Dwight Howard.
Do they have any reason whatsoever to fear the Lakers?
None. It's funny to me, a few days ago, I'm watching SportsCenter, and it's after game two. You know, the Lakers fans are feeling it. They just beat the Phoenix Suns. But that in itself, what have they accomplished? They just beat the Phoenix Suns, okay? And their crowd is yelling, we want Boston, we want Boston. They don't know what they're talking about. I understand how it is. You're caught up in the moment. You know, your team's looking like it's headed back to the finals, which they probably will. But they don't want any part of Boston. They don't want Boston. If they're smart, they'll be praying for a magic turnaround in this series. They don't want Boston.
I don't think anybody wants Boston.
No.
How could you? The way they're playing.
Boston's playing out of their skulls right now.
Who's the best player on the Boston lineup?
See, that's the thing. With the Lakers, hands down, you can say Kobe. With the Cavaliers and the Magic, you can say Dwight Howard, LeBron James. With this Boston Celtics team, you just can't say the best player because it used to be the big three, KG, Kevin Garnett, for those who don't know, Ray Allen, former Supersonic, and Paul Pierce. But now you've got guys like Rajon Rondo.
Huge in the playoffs. Huge.
Big, okay?
Huge in the playoffs.
And then you have guys coming off the bench having like supreme games like Wallace coming off the bench, Rasheed Wallace. Tony Allen's coming off the bench. Before this playoff series, Tony Allen was who? He was a nobody. And then he came up big against Cleveland, and now he's just seems like he's just part of the rotation that they got going out there. From Big Baby Davis out there all the way down to the little ticket stub, you know, Perkins is his name.
Right.
They're all playing at extremely high levels right now, so...
And they play as a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. There is no, like you said, there's no one person that stands out and says, this is my team. They play the whole unit as a team.
Yeah.
And that's difficult to beat, especially in the playoffs.
Well, I believe all five starters are averaging double-digit points, you know, so.
So right now, before we move on to the next NBA news, I want to go ahead and sum up our opinion of the Lakers' chance for another title. Sorry, Kobe. That's about it.
That's your
chance right there for another title. If we can move forward now, July 1st is the free agent deadline, or the free agent beginning, opening line. everyone's looking at LeBron James. Mark Cuban, apparently a little earlier than most people, is looking at LeBron James. They're looking at slapping him with a tampering penalty, which can be anywhere from up to $5 million fine and a loss of draft picks. What do you think of that? Did he cross the line with what he said?
I think that tampering rule is garbage. And I wish we had a sound effect for garbage, but we don't at the moment. That's what I feel about it. I think it's trash. I think, to a certain extent, it's probably necessary in most sports to where if you're actually going and talking to a player's agent or that player
right.
specifically, then yeah. But if you're just talking about the person to someone else, to like to some third party that has nothing to do with whether or not that person will go here or there, it's garbage.
Now, in defense of the NBA, they did send a written memo to all NBA teams and told them, if any member of the media asks you about a player whose contract expired prior to July 1st, the only thing you can do is decline comment. You cannot say anything. You can't say, yeah, we like him. You can't say, we wouldn't like him. You're expressly supposed to say no comment. Mark Cuban, of course, did not do that. He said, started talking about the possibility of a trade, a sign then trade opportunity for the Mavericks to pick up LeBron James. He talked about what LeBron should or shouldn't do, what LeBron probably will do, what he thinks LeBron will do. Well, time to take a quick break as Tony thumbs through his notes there. You're listening to The Sideline on KLAY. Once again, Stump Tony. Call in with a question regarding the NFL. Stump Tony, win 4 tickets to next Thursday's Tacoma Rainiers game. You're listening to The Sideline on KLAY. Hey, it's Pete from The Sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The Sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring The Sideline to you. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
Have you ever seen a pet wandering in the streets and found yourself unsure if you should pick it up? How would you help reunite it with its owner? Have you thought about adopting a pet but were unsure of where to go? Hi, I'm Shelley Fabre, here to tell you that now there's an easy answer to these questions as well as a lot more. It's called Pets 911. It's a free public service that enables anyone to access all the information that will help us take better care of our pets. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org, you can learn how to locate a lost pet or list one that you found. It tells you where the closest adoption facility is, spaying and neutering services, emergency pet care, general health information, and much more. So please call 1-888-PETS-911 or visit the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org and do your part to help ensure a better future for our pets.
All right, we're back on The Sideline on KLAY, 584-1480. Toll free from King County, 253-804-5765. Those are the numbers to get off the sideline, get into the game. Sports talk for the community. Tony, time to shift to baseball as we do. Second segment every 3 o'clock hour here on The Sideline.
The shift is on. Speaking about the shift.
Exactly. That was the segue for you because you wanted to bring that up.
Yes, I did. Okay, Pete. I'm going to dub you momentarily the baseball guru, at least of our show.
Thank you, Grasshopper.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, now, please explain to me. Tell me what the shift is and why teams even bother to use it. Now, I'm asking you this question because I saw it in three different times watching baseball games last year. I mean, over this last week. And in each example, it totally did not work. So there was one I saw the shift was on Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
And he ended up hitting the ball way into the gap, which I'm like, why would they shift everybody over to the right?
Right.
Just so he can hit the ball clear into the gigantic opening where there is nobody there for what, you know, I say miles, but obviously it's just a few feet, but it looked what it was appeared to be miles and miles of just yard.
The reason's simple. Baseball is a huge game of tendencies. You play percentages, you play tendencies. These tendencies are built up over many, many games, minor league games, major league games. When you see a player that, if you look at the score sheet and he's 4-3, 4-3, F9, F8-9, and you see that 70% of the time he hits the ball to the right side, and you can put a shift on, which the shift you're talking about is when you bring the second baseman basically into shallow right field. You bring the shortstop from the shortstop position all the way over to where the second baseman normally plays, and you bring the third baseman up to the shortstop position. You're doing that because of tendencies. Now, most of the time, that player is going to hit the ball to the right side. Sometimes they will go out of their tendencies and they'll hit the ball to the left side or you know, whichever way the shift works. But most of the time, that shift does work. David Ortiz is huge. They have a huge shift for Ortiz. And
he was one of the other games in which I watched where he hit it right into the gap. No, right. Wait. I actually think his might have been a home run, but it was to left field once again. So, I mean, now why is it you never see a shift for right-handed batters?
You know, I don't know. Because most of the time you do see a shift, the shift is for left-handed hitters. And the big thing about that, you know, Ortiz is a perfect example. Until you can put a 10th player in the right field bleachers, there is no shift against a home run. You can't prevent that. But what will happen is the more you see the shift, the more you'll realize that most of the time they wind up hitting the ball to either the shortstop playing at second base or the second baseman playing in shallow right field. And if it's a slow enough hitter, in Junior's example, he can hit that ball on a ground shot going straight to the second baseman playing basically in mid-right field and still get thrown out at first base. You know, it's 4-3 on a score sheet, but if you watch it, it looks like he's getting thrown out from right field.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen too often.
Because I've never seen them put on the shift for Ichiro, and he's left-handed.
Because Ichiro actually has tendencies, depending on what the count is, to go to left field. When he starts running, you see, he'll start running to first base. He bats in motion. He swings while he's running, which made him a very difficult out. You know, getting easier and easier now the older he gets. But he can slap that ball to left field, right field, pull the ball. He hits the ball evenly to all fields. And when you have that type of tendencies, you don't put a shift on. They used to have a modified shift for Ichiro, and where they brought their third baseman and shortstop in, they played on the grass, mm-hmm. because if he hit the ball in the infield, the only chance you had to get him out is if you were standing on the grass. If that ball made it to the dirt, he was beating the throw out no matter what. So that was kind of a modified shift, but all they did was the infielders played him shallower, which in turn only helped his average because it got past the infields that much quicker. And in some cases, it was an easy double for him. But yeah, it's kind of hard to see, unless you see it in person or you see it over an extended period of time, how often that shift truly does work in baseball. It's kind of like when you see a quarterback in the NFL and you know their tendencies on third and in six is to go to the right side of the field on a screen or whatever. Defenses will cheat to that side of the field. They know what the quarterback's thinking. They know what the quarterback's tendencies are, and they will cheat to that side of the field one way or the other, mm-hmm. in order to compensate for that. And, you know, any advantage you get, that advantage works.
Okay, well, you know, we were talking about the shift, and basically, I mentioned Griffey. I saw Griffey in that shift. Speaking of Griffey, he did something over this last week. which amazingly in his career, well, probably not too much. He hasn't done a ton of pinch hitting in his career, but I guess we'll pick up that. I see our phone lines are ringing, so we'll see what that.
No, but
probably our caller. But
until the caller comes on, we can talk about that. Because one of the things about Griffey is, you know, the longer it gets into the season, the more and more you're going to see him pinch hit.
Yeah,
you're not going to see him a lot in the starting lineup, and that's for obvious reasons. Hopefully, they can find someone to fill that gap, and we'll see. It just, you know, it just depends. Of course, Griffey did hit that walk-off hit, only the second of his career. It wasn't a home run. And after we get to our guest caller, we'll talk about whether that's too little or too late. It is time for the Meet the Rainiers segment of our program. And on the line with us, we are very proud to have relief pitcher from the Tacoma Rainiers, Mr. Brian Sweeney. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Appreciate you taking the time to come on the air with us, especially after your late game last night.
Yeah, it was a little late, but, you know, we got it done in an awkward way. But, you know, a win is a win.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, one of the first questions I want to ask right off the bat, you know, you've played ball for a few years here, and when the team that's whatever level, whether it's single A, double A, triple A, when you're in an organization and the major league team is struggling the way the Mariners are struggling this year, how does that affect you in the triple A ranks right here? I mean, how much time do you spend watching what's happening above you, knowing that there's so much instability there?
Well, you try not to worry about what's going on. We get to watch it, you know, being so close to Seattle. You know, it's always on TV for us, so we'll see the highlights and the games and things like that. But, you know, you really have to concentrate on getting your job done. You know, the things you can control, you know, whether here in Tacoma or Double A or what have you. You know, you control the things you can control, and, you know, that's how good things are going to happen for an individual and for the organization.
Now, when you started... Actually, this is your second time with the Seattle organization, correct?
Yes.
Okay. As far as that goes, I noticed that you also played for a few years in Japan.
Yes.
When the Mariners coverage is as big over there as everyone believes it is with Ichiro?
Oh yeah, they love Ichiro over there. You know, he's got billboards and he does a lot of advertising over there, and on a daily basis, they'll show the highlights of all the Japanese players in the major leagues, and you know, show how well they're doing. And it's you know, they're proud that they're having you know, a part of their culture ingrained in Major League Baseball.
Okay, now seeing you play three seasons over there, what are some of the big similarities and big differences between, if there are any, between American style baseball and Japanese baseball?
You know, it's similar but different. It's very, you know, it's almost like you have to be a part of it to really understand. It's Major League Baseball in another country, and they're good. That league is an excellent league. These guys can hit. These guys can pitch. And you know what? They teach very well, too. So it was a good experience for me to learn as a pitcher. They have power. They really do take it serious in their fundamentals with infield and defense. And, you know, in their form. So if they have anything over, you know, the major leagues over here, it's their practice and how they go about their business with defense and, you know, and their form.
Okay, feeding off of that question, if you were to compare them to the major leagues here, would you say they're more of a National League style or American League?
Definitely a National League style. Usually you get a run, even in the first inning, you get the leadoff guy on, the second guy is going to bunt him over. And, you know, and that's a huge accomplishment, and that's what they've been ingrained to do since they were kids. So, you know, I would say it's definitely more a National League style.
Now, which do you prefer? Because I see you have time in the National Leagues, and by the way, you know, a 240 lifetime batting average, which is very respectable, especially with the big club doing what they're doing right now. what style do you prefer?
Well, I like to hit. I enjoy getting in there and, you know, swinging a bat. You know, I may not get the job done all the time, but I like being a part of that. It takes your mind off of pitching a little bit. I do like the National League style where I get an opportunity to hit. But, you know, guess what? I'm in the American League, so I got to deal with it.
So far, what – I guess baseball – a lot of people don't realize that baseball players, this is something that from the time – you know, kids are 5 or 6. This is what they're going to do. When did you realize that baseball was it? This was going to be your career?
I've always wanted, since I was 4. You know, this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. And, you know, that's what I've been saying. And, you know, people would tell me, okay, go get it. Some people would say, you're crazy. I remember my doctor. I was 5. I went to the doctor, and I told him what I wanted to do when I got older. And he said, do you have a backup plan? I didn't really know what that meant. And I said, no, I don't. So I really tried to focus on my dreams and get after it. And I was lucky enough to achieve a few of them.
You know, the last road trip that you guys went to, you went to Memphis, you went to Nashville. The attendance figures back there, you know, you're looking at 10, 11, 12,000 people coming to the AAA baseball out there as opposed to out here. What's that feel like when you're out playing a game, playing baseball in front of that many people? That's got to be a huge rush.
It was always nice to have a good fan base, you know, watching you. You know, we are, you know, performing to the best of our abilities, and it's nice when, you know, the fans can appreciate it. But I believe here in Tacoma, you know, as the weather gets nicer and it doesn't rain every night like it's been every homestand, you know, we'll get more fans out here, and they're as supportive as ever. So, you know, I have no complaints about Tacoma, just the weather.
All right, Brian Sweeney, I wish we had a little bit more time, but I know it is a game night for you. It is Family Fireworks Night at Cheney Stadium tonight for Tacoma versus New Orleans. I appreciate you coming on the air. Thank you very much.
You got it.
For our Meet the Rainiers segment, and good luck tonight.
Yep, we look forward to seeing you out there on the mound.
Thanks. Take care.
Yep, bye.
All right, you're listening to The Sideline on KLAY. We got to take a quick break. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of playing Guitar Hero? You want to be a Guitar Hero? Or maybe you just got some business needs like mixing, mastering, video production, project productions, press kits, voiceovers, duplications, sound or lighting. Whatever it is, from head to toe, the boys down at Pacific Studios have you covered. The address, 2328 Pack Avenue. The phone number, 253-272-2010. Ask for Mark and tell him Tony sent you.
When I first decided to go back, I was a little scared because I was older. My mom sat me down and she told me that it's not my job to be the man of the house. Her dream for me is to go back to school and finish what I started. I needed to hear that.
Jared didn't know how to get the money he needed for college.
I found out about the federal student aid program through my English teacher, and she told me, Jared, this is what you need to do. Once I got the form, I filled out the application. I did it myself.
Federal student aid made college and Jared's dreams possible.
When I first had the news that I received money, I ran downstairs and I showed my mother, and she was happy, so she started crying. But when I saw her crying, I started crying.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov, an office of the U.S. Department of Education. Start here, go further.
My name is Jared, and this is my story.
Hi, this is Dr. Joy Brown. There's a crisis in this country that I'd really like you to know about. It's silent, and it's called premature birth. Nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon every single year. Many die or have serious disabilities like blindness. Please join me in helping the March of Dimes find ways to stop premature birth and save our babies. Visit marchofdimes.com to find out what you can do.
All right, we're back on the sideline on KLAY, Sports Talk for the Community. 584-1480, toll-free from King County, 253-804-5765. See us online at onthesl.com, baby. That's where our website is.
You know what that means? I'll
go ahead. Yeah, I know what that means. That means it's Sports Talk the way it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, real quick before we get into, Tony wants to start a little East Coast, West Coast beefing here pretty quick. But before we do that, we just hit the quarter post for the Major League Baseball season, and I do want to rehash the predictions that we made back on April 2nd real quick.
Bring it.
Just to recap our predictions and to see where we actually stand, just want to run down really quick, Tony. I will have to go on record right now to admit that you do have the better predictions so far.
Hold on. Shh. Whatever you're doing right now, listeners, drop your pencils. Hopefully, if you're in your car, you're at a red light so you can pay attention. Hopefully you're not texting anybody. If the person next to you is talking too loud, give them the shh and listen to what he's about to say.
Yes, Tony.
This will be one of the rare times you actually want to pay attention to what he has to say.
Tony does have a better record right now in the Major League Baseball predictions. He's getting giddy over there. AL West, you know, Tony took LA, I took Seattle, both far off the mark on that one. Mm-hmm. Texas, of course, is the actual leader. Seattle 8.5 back, LA 4.5 back. Central, kind of unique situation. You took Minnesota, I took Detroit. Both teams tied for first place, so I guess a half a point each for us right there. In the East, I don't even know if I want to say it. I took New York, you took Tampa Bay. Who would have thought it? Tampa Bay has best record in baseball. There's no way you could have thought they would have the best record in baseball
right
now.
I didn't think they had the best record, but I knew that they had what it took to win that division.
I don't know how. Nobody thought that, but I guess one person in Tacoma, Washington thought Tampa Bay is going to win that division. Well, hey, kudos to you. You figured that one out. Both of us took L.A. and the NL West. L.A., of course, trailing San Diego by one game. I think we both have the consensus feeling that L.A. will catch San Diego at some point and take that one. In the NL Central, you took St. Louis. I took Chicago. St. Louis, of course, winning that division. They are a half a game up on Cincinnati. Chicago 5 back. My lone victory so far. In the East, I took Philly. You took Florida. Philly's up by 4 over Florida. So I do have one division, the NL East, under my belt.
But the funny thing about that one division is both of us cracked jokes about the Nationals.
Right.
And look at their record compared
they're no
to ours.
Joke. Yeah. Right. They're no joke. You know, one stat that did stand out real quick, I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and they said the one area that Tampa Bay is horrible at, and the only reason this stands out is because they were tied for Mariners in the statistic, so I guess the Mariners are horrible at it too, is both teams are hitting .225 with nobody on base. Now, put people on base, the Tampa Bay Rays are hitting .380, but with nobody on base, they're hitting .225. It's good enough for tied for next to last in Major League Baseball, tied with your Seattle Mariners.
Well, hey, at least we're getting some notoriety.
At least right? We have the Tacoma Rainiers.
Hey.
That's my team. If I could pick the Rainiers to win the American League West, I would do that today. Even after getting swept by Memphis last week.
If you could do what?
If I could pick the Rainiers to win the American League West, I would do that today. I think they have as good a chance of beating any of those four teams as anybody else. So, with that horrible recap of our predictions out of the way, Tony wants to start a little East Coast, West Coast.
But I also want to pick, before we do that, because I think we still have time to do that, let's pick back up where we left off with that Mark Cuban topic. Because I don't think you were quite through.
No, I'm not through.
Okay.
You know, the NBA was crystal clear when they were talking about you should not make any comment other than no comment. And Mark Cuban, again, takes his own interpretation of that explicit memo from the league and does what he wants to do.
I like how you say it again, like he does it weekly or something.
He does it pretty often.
He is a standout type of guy. But I think, you know, people just tend to point out the negative things that he does, and you don't hear too much about the positive things that Mark Cuban does. Because, like, if you ask anyone in his organization, players love him.
Absolutely.
Players would love to go and work for an owner like a Mark Cuban, because they know that he's just not the owner, but he's out there. Those are his guys.
Oh, he's a fan.
He's one of them, and he's behind them 110%.
You know, and I'll take that one step further. Not only is he behind them 110%, he lets the coaches, he lets everyone in the organization do their job. Of course, he also holds them.
I wouldn't say everyone.
He holds them accountable to do their job.
There is that Avery Johnson debacle.
Do you think he was out of line with how he handled that?
The guy took you to your only finals, okay? And then a year removed, you can him?
I think the expectation, just like with any organization, if the expectations that you have are at level A, and even if, you know, level B exceeds what other people think, you still expected to get that type of production out of them.
If that was the case, why hasn't Robert Kraft gotten rid of Bill Belichick?
It's not the same thing. Maybe in Robert Kraft's mind, Belichick is holding his responsibilities to a level that he sees acceptable. And in the case of Avery Johnson, Mark Cuban just thought, you know, we needed to have that title. The title didn't come, fell far short of their expectations, and he felt like he had to make a change. Of course, they're not doing so hot now, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, Seattle let George Karl go, and where have they been since? They're in Oklahoma now. We don't even have them anymore.
Yeah.
Might not have been the case if he would have stayed here and the team would have kept winning, and we might still have NBA basketball. We don't, you know, all over a coaching change. You don't know. But if the team isn't doing what you think the team should be doing.
Actually, the trouble wasn't over the coaching change. The trouble was over the management change. When the team switched from Bob Whitsett as team president to Wally Walker, that's when the problem started.
I'll agree with that.
So.
Yeah, huge, because you know, nobody had the personnel to do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So no matter who you are as a coach, if you don't have the right personnel, you're not going to win games, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Even Phil Jackson didn't make it to the championship, to the playoffs with the Lakers the first season minus Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
So
that is an absolute fact. So do you want to do your football thing now?
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, while Tony looks up his statistics. A member of Tony's family recently made a trip back to the wrong coast, or the East Coast, I'm sorry, my mistake. And Tony, in his hands, holds a prediction sheet, a power ranking, all kinds of stuff for the NFL. And I guess you found a little bit of East Coast bias.
Most definitely. Check this out.
I notice it says USA Today.
On the USA Today Special Edition NFL 2010 forecast. Folks, they have predicted the power rankings for the top, well, the top rankings from number one all the way down to the 32nd team in the NFL.
Let me guess, they put the Seahawks at 36.
Just about
behind
close.
Four college teams.
So let's do a quick rundown through the top five.
All right, go ahead.
Who do you think, after last year's football season, playoffs included, who do you think was ranked number one team?
I'll tell you right now, with the offense they had and the run they have, it's got to be the Saints.
That's what I would figure.
Right.
They always say the champions have to be number one until they're defeated.
Especially when the champions play the way they play and they've kept the players that they have.
Exactly. Well, check this out. USA Today says that the number one team in the league next year will be the Indianapolis Colts. And they had the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Not even close.
That's what I think.
How is that even possible?
Because as long as they have Peyton Manning, Indianapolis will be a Super Bowl contender.
I don't believe that for a second.
I don't believe that
Not
either.
Even for a second. I mean, where is the USA Today printed? Is it printed in Indianapolis?
Gotta no, be. But you would think it were. Okay, their top five. Indianapolis Colts, the number two team, the New Orleans Saints. The very team that punished and humiliated Indianapolis
them.
In the Super Bowl is ranked number two behind the Colts. I don't know. I'm scratching my head over here. The Ravens at number three. The Jets fall down to four. And the Cowboys at number five.
The Cowboys at five?
The Cowboys at five. Now, okay, obviously I have a problem with the Colts being ranked number one. How do the Ravens get up to number three over the Jets, a team that made it to the AFC title game?
And they've had a pretty decent offseason, like you were saying, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they know something that we don't know, but now, it would seem they have, in the top five,
is it a Baltimore thing? Someone lived in Baltimore who wrote this article? Because I see here the old... the Indianapolis Colts used to belong to Baltimore, as we all know. And the Baltimore Ravens at number three.
Could be.
Makes you scratch your head.
Do the math.
So that whole rundown, I'll run down a list for you. Colts at number one, Saints at number two, the Ravens are third, the Jets projected four, the Cowboys at five, the Vikings at six. The Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings as low as six.
I would have to have the Minnesota Vikings... Well, with Brett Favre higher than six, I
definitely.
Mean,
these people
to.
Are out of their skulls. We have The Patriots at number 7. I like the Patriots in the top 10. I don't think they should be rated as high as number 7. They did not have that great of an offseason, and their draft was mediocre at best.
You know, we might have to continue this. This is interesting stuff. We might have to continue this in the second hour. We do have a guest speaker hopefully coming on after the break. You are listening to Sports Talk for the Community. It is The Sideline on KLAY 1180 AM. Hey, it's Pete from The Sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The Sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring The Sideline to you. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
On KLAY, Sports Talk for the Community. Speaking of communities, want to shift gears yet again. We're going to go to one of the fine educational institutions here in the Pacific Northwest. One that, interesting fact, 20% of the student body actually turns out for sports teams for this organization. Of course, we are talking about the University of Puget Sound. And on the line with us right now, we do have the brand spanking new, as of January 26th, head coach of the UPS Loggers, Jeff Thomas, with us. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Wanted to thank you for taking the time to come on to our show here, The Sideline.
Tony, glad to have you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, first question. Got to ask it right out of the box. Last year, rough year for the Loggers, 0-9. Real tough, tough year. You're coming into a brand new organization. Where do you start?
You know, we start by making the players that are already here believe that they can win. You know, went 0-9 the year before, 3-6. So, not a lot of the players on the team have experienced a lot of success. It's been three years or 4 years since they, in high school had a lot of winning success. But we had to teach that from the beginning. A lot of competitive off-season drills, and you know, find some recruits that can fill in the spots needed.
Okay, so when you're coming off of a 0-9 season, and you bring in the schools bring in a new coach as yourself and your staff, you always hear a lot about changing the culture of a team. Now, how do you actually go about taking the last three seasons out of some of those players' minds and rewiring them for a fresh start to get them to believe in your program and what you guys are bringing in?
You know, I think that the most important thing is that you show to them that you care. A lot of times you hear about Division I programs, how the head coach comes in and cleans house, gets rid of, the seniors and really starts building for 2 years from now. Whereas for myself, what the most important thing I did is I convinced three guys that had another year of eligibility to come back, and, they're going to be probable start starters on our defense side of the ball. So we have 3 fifth-year seniors next year. And then with the 12 other seniors, I convinced them that, you know, I want to win and win right now. And getting that buy-in with the seniors allowed us to really push their limits physically and mentally. And I knew that there wouldn't be much backroom lawyering going on because these guys really want to win and they want to experience it on their last year.
Now, that's something that you don't hear a lot. Actually, I don't think I've ever heard that. And I know I'm out of that college playing age now. But if I were, just hearing you say that is enough to make me want to suit up and play for you. Because you always hear about them going in and drafting in for the next class for like the next 2 to 3 years, 4 years, as you heard. But you never hear coaches going in saying that it starts now. We make steps to win now, not 3 years, but now. And I'm sure they had to love that. I don't know how they could resist.
Yeah, they bought in. I mean, we worked hard this offseason. I know a lot of coaches are, you know, that's almost like the in the coaching handbook of things to say, you've got to say that. But our guys were up at 6:15, 5 days a week. I don't know many college students that are up at 6:15 a.m. for good reasons, that, you know, on a college campus. But our guys were 5 times a week, and lifting and running and pushing themselves mentally and physically.
Now, this is all like volunteer stuff that they that the students organize themselves, or
We have a class that we have, you know, an off-season conditioning class, and
uh-huh.
You know, there's 5 or 6 non-athletes in the class as well, and you know, they were pushed as well. You know, I definitely changed the curriculum to be much more taxing on mentally and physically, whether it be push-ups or sprints or plyometrics. I mean, maybe a different way of pushing the body. We definitely tried it.
Now, one of the things that I want to touch on, too, here, since you're with, you know, an organization like the University of Puget Sound, which is they've always been more about broadening people's, I guess, horizons as opposed to just education or just football. And looking at the extracurricular activities that you have, the projects that you've had, like the Habitat for Humanity and, you know, the stuff that you've done for the people of New Orleans, you know, that's huge. And aside from football, what role do you see as the head coach, your job is to help with your athletes?
Absolutely. Well, I think that co-curricular activities, and I'm going to speak specifically to football, teaches people to become leaders in everything they do. And, you know, football is important, and make no mistake, I want to win. I want to win every game convincingly. But, you know, using that as a platform allows me to get our guys out in the community, be leaders in community service projects. And you hit on, well, at my previous institution, we took a group of 50 guys back to New Orleans for 2 weeks and did Hurricane Katrina cleanup. And, you know, just that experience, you know, selfishly, it helped them become better football players because they understood what hard work was, you know, doing 12-hour days of, you know, cleaning out houses. But more important than that, they understood the big picture of, you know, why they're pushing themselves as hard as they could so that later in life they can become a leader in their own community.
See, that's huge, and that's one of the things that Tony and I, we talk about often is at the college level, the role that athletics and the role that the coaches of their athletic teams have in the players is so much more than the next level that they'll hope to achieve. And the things that the UPS, whether it's any of the organizations, you know, they're huge with the volleyball, they're huge with softball, they're huge with football, you know, the roles that you guys play is phenomenal. In the limited time, you know, it's been limited time that you've been with UPS. Do they give you a lot of freedom? Is it pretty structured from the university, the projects that you have, or do you have a lot of leeway to go one way or the other with how you run the program?
A tremendous amount of leeway. You know, we have a great president in President Thomas, and I love the last name in and of itself, but he's a tremendous leader in that he makes sure that you have the resources in order to be good at everything we do. Whether it's our new health sciences building going in and, you know, allowing that improvement in the academic arena, or if it's in anything that we've done athletically over the years, whether it's putting in our new, you know, field turf field for a practice field. He makes sure that you have the resources to be good and across the board for Puget Sound. And from that, you know, our athletic administration, you know, Amy Hackett and Robin Hamilton have done a great job of, you know, if I came in and said I need this to be successful, they're going to find a way to get it done.
Now, although you guys share the same last names, we definitely know that there's no nepotism going on, seeing how you beat out 129 other individuals who were interviewed for the same job which you hold right now.
Yeah, no, no nepotism at all. You know, I did my best to try to find some, you know, seventh cousin link, and there was nothing between us.
Okay, so with your new program, obviously there's a bunch of conditioning and drills and stuff you can do to prepare your athletes for the next season physically. Mm-hmm. What type of things are you doing to prepare them mentally for what they're going to have to be ready for?
You know, with the, you know, technology's come so far. You know, I stopped playing in 2002, and it's an entirely different game just from that point to now because of the internet and the ability to put on video, and anything you can do with a computer is just night and day different. Our players are 24/7 people. They're awake at random hours. So we need to make sure we find ways for them to learn the playbook, learn the package using all the advent of technology that's allowed us. So we have the ability for them to watch video anytime, day or night. They can log in and be able to watch it. And those type of advantages allow us to not really have this transition year in year one. We can, you know, feel like we've been here and done it before.
Okay, so I would imagine, seeing how you've fallen into the head coaching job at the university in which you did, which is Puget Sound, those students are quite intelligent. So I imagine from all 53 positions there, or all 53 players there, they have a really high IQ, football IQ.
Absolutely. You know, it's great for me because I came from an institution that was similar. So I'm used to the question of why. A lot of football coaches hate that question. You know, the stereotypical football coach of Marine Corps, yes sir, no sir, and don't ask why type of situation. It isn't how I teach and how I coach. I really believe that if you can't explain why we're doing something, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And we do a lot of things to push ourselves and push our players, and sometimes the answer is because that's the way it needs to be done and the players understand it. But because we give them that flexibility to ask why, the depth of their understanding of our offense and defense is much farther ahead than teams that don't have that type of a true trust between the player and the coach.
Okay, one thing I got to ask real quick, we're going to go into your personal choice here. Of course, you started out as a quarterback and then you turned into a defensive back.
That had much more to do with the fact that the quarterback that ended up coming in was much, much better than me.
Oh, there we go.
It was an easy choice.
Which was your favorite side of the ball to be on, though?
You know, I liked probably because I had a lot more success. I liked defensive side of the ball because as a corner, by my senior year, I was taking away half the field. And there's something really gratifying about, you know, negating someone's ability to do, you know, in the passing attack, you know, running any type of routes at us. I felt like I was able to really disrupt what an offense was trying to do.
You know, speaking of the defensive side of the football, as we look at the record and the scores of the games from last year that UPS had, that's going to be a huge task, is to installing a level of that type of aggressiveness with his defense. They had a few games where they put up over 50 points there. No easy task for you there?
No easy task. You know, we're going to be a night and day different defense. You know, the defense last year did a lot of good things. They were real well coached.
Right.
But we're going to be, they were a read and react defense last year, or bends and don't, but don't break, you know, all those great cliches. You know, we're going to cause you to fight for every single yard. And we might give up an occasional big play, but we're going to get after people and make it uncomfortable for any down. First and 10 from the minus 20, we're going to be coming after you.
Well,
we're
coach,
be known as that type of game.
We're looking forward to it. You kick off the season September 11th at Occidental. I appreciate you for coming on. That's all time we have, top of the hour. Coach, thanks. Look forward to talking to you a little bit later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Right. Bye-bye.
That's the top of the hour. You listen to The Sideline on KLAY. We're back in 6 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma, your conversation station.